Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Bari Hoffman. There are three subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is the decision to try to expel hundreds of Jewish pioneers from their homes in Amona. Amona is a beautiful Jewish community in Judea and Samaria. And the evil Netanyahu regime and the Supreme Court are planning to expel hundreds of Jews from their homes, God forbid. What is the strategy that JTF recommends that we use in order to fight this expulsion? The second subject we want to discuss is Ted Cruz's decision to endorse Donald Trump. I don't think it affects things that much, but his decision, which was not unexpected, to endorse Donald Trump, what is our view of that? How does that impact our view of Ted Cruz? Will we still support Ted Cruz if he runs for president again in 2020 or in the future? What exactly do we respond with to that endorsement, and how does that endorsement impact upon this election? And the third subject that we want to bring up is the upcoming Trump-Clinton debate. We're taping this program on Sunday evening. The debate is going to be on Monday evening, the day after, so we're taping this program 24 hours before the first important Clinton-Trump debate. We're going to discuss that as well. So those are the three subjects. Let's start off with Amona. Amona is a beautiful Jewish community in Judea and Samaria. And the evil traitors that run Israel's Supreme Court, the army, the police, the government, the politicians, they don't like the fact that Jews are settling in their historic homeland because they want to create a so-called Palestinian state. Even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, all of that is an Arab lie and an Arab bluff. There has never been a Palestine or a Palestinian people in history. The Arabs who live in Israel, the millions of Arabs who live in the land of Israel, don't belong there. They came there as trespassers, and they came there after the Jews started to rebuild the land. They were not there for 2,000 years. And their objective, of course, is to swallow up little Israel and destroy little Israel, and make little Israel part of the huge Arab world. They already have 22 Arab countries, they have 65 Muslim countries. The Muslim world is 3,000 times the size of tiny Israel, and yet the whole world demands that even the little land that tiny Israel has, that Israel should have to surrender that land. So they want to vivisect Israel, they want to create a so-called Palestinian state, because a so-called Palestinian state would mean national suicide for Israel. It would be unbelievably destructive. Israel would be only 6 to 9 miles wide. Israel would have completely indefensible borders. Every Jew in Israel would be within Arab artillery and rocket fire. It would be a nightmare that is impossible to even describe. There's a danger, actually, of a Holocaust. There's a danger of another Holocaust if Israel, God forbid, allows an independent Palestinian state to be created. The only obstacle to creating an independent Palestinian state are the heroic Jewish pioneers, the Jewish settlers who live in Judea and Samaria, and one of these communities is Amona. And you have hundreds of Jews living there, over 60 Jewish families, and the families are large, so you have hundreds of Jews living there. And there is a decision to destroy that community and hand it over to the Arab terrorists. They say that the land belongs to the Arab terrorists, which of course is a complete lie. Not one grain of sand in the land of Israel belongs to the Muslims. That entire land, every piece, every portion, every inch of that land belongs to the Jewish people. God gave that land to the Jewish people. It belongs to the Jewish people. And anyone else who tries to take part of that land, in this case the Muslim Nazis who want to destroy the Jews, are in fact robbing the land from its rightful owners. The rightful owners of the land of Israel are the Jewish people. Now, they want to expel these Jews, and that would be the first step. This tragic expulsion would be the first step toward expelling many thousands more who are in a similar legal predicament like Amona. So this is something that has to be stopped. If we don't stop this, eventually they're going to throw all the Jews out. This will lead to them eventually throwing all the Jews out of Judea and Samaria and creating a so-called Palestine state. It has to be resisted. It has to be stopped. The phony politicians like Benjamin Netanyahu, Naftali Bennett, Avigdor Lieberman, Aryeh Deri, all these phony politicians are going along with this. They could not care less, even though now Naftali Bennett, at first he was going along with it, he wasn't saying anything. Now he's come under tremendous pressure from people within his party. So now he claims that he's against it. This phony Bennett has been part of the evil Netanyahu regime that has frozen all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria for the past 7 years, something which left-wing governments didn't do. Ehud Olmert or Ehud Smolmert, when he was prime minister, never did that. Rabin Peres, the worst leftist prime ministers, never froze all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria. Never. Netanyahu is the first prime minister to freeze all Jewish building, this anti-Semitic building freeze that is imposed only on Jews. If you're Jewish, you're not allowed to build in Judea and Samaria. If you're an Arab, you can build illegally everywhere. That's the Netanyahu anti-Semitic building freeze. And I hate you Jews. I hate you Jews that support Netanyahu. I despise you. I despise you. You are despicable. You are immoral, nasty creatures. And you cause all of our problems. You Jews that insist upon supporting somebody who is evil, immoral, and who is carrying out the policies of the left. He runs as a right-winger in the elections, and then once he gets elected, he carries out the worst policies of the left and is worse than the left. The building freeze he has imposed on Judea and Samaria for the past 7 years is worse than the policies of the left. The left never did this when they were in power, the open left. The only way to stop these things, to stop these expulsions, is massive physical resistance. Civil disobedience, massive physical resistance. There were 8 families in Amona. In the year 2006, they were also subject to expulsion. There was massive resistance, though. Several thousand Jews, several thousand young, heroic Jews, came to Amona to resist. And it was a bloody, violent, terrible expulsion. Thousands of Jews there came to protect those 8 Jewish families. And the police came with horses and beat and brutalized these heroic young Jews. But this was all shown on a national television. The young Jews did resist. And because of these violent, bloody scenes on television in Israel, the people of Israel were so repulsed by what they saw on their television screens that for 2 whole years after that expulsion, there were no more expulsions. Not another Jew was expelled or touched in Judea and Samaria. Even though you had a leftist government, Ehud Olmert was the prime minister. We call him Ehud Smolmert. Smol in Hebrew means leftist. So we call him Ehud Smolmert. You had Ehud Smolmert, who was a leftist prime minister who wanted to do other expulsions. The next 2 weeks, he was planning another 3 expulsions. And he canceled all of them, and there were no more expulsions. The people of Israel overwhelmingly turned against the expulsions for two years. So the way to stop this, there's no question the way to stop this, is what our leader, Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory, always said, that there has to be physical, massive resistance to every expulsion. We have to show them they're going to pay a terrible price every time they try to throw Jews out of their homes and hand over Jewish land to our Arab, Muslim, Nazi enemies. And that's what has to happen in Amona. And that's what JTF is urging in our Hebrew videos, in our Hebrew movement. We're urging, and behind the scenes as well, in our communications with people. We are urging that there be massive physical resistance, just as there was in 2006. Even if they succeed in, God forbid, expelling these Jewish families, there has to be massive physical resistance. There has to be the type of scenes we saw in 2006 once again played out. And if that happens, it's going to be very tough for them to do further expulsions. If every time they try to do this, there's massive physical resistance, that is the one thing that can be a deterrent to expulsions. That's the only thing that works. We've seen that. That's the only thing. I'm 60 years old. And I've seen all the expulsions going back to the early 1980s in Yamit, the first expulsion in Yamit that was carried out by Menachem Begin and the phony Likud. Because most expulsions of Jews have been carried out by the Likud, by the phony right, not by the left, by the phony right. Most surrender of the vast majority of land that has been surrendered since the 1967 Six-Day War was surrendered by the Likud, by so-called, by the phony right. The phony right is worse than the left in Israel, worse than the left. Just like the phony right in America, Donald Trump is worse than the left of the United States. That's something that you might find out about. You might see that with your own eyes if, God forbid, Donald Trump is elected this November. The phony right often is worse than the left because the phony right runs on a so-called right-wing platform and winds up carrying out policies that are even more left-wing than the open left, than the people who declare themselves to be leftists. People who declare themselves to be leftists are unable to carry out many of their policies many times. But the phony right, they become the ones who end up carrying out the left-wing policies. Richard Nixon, who claimed to be a militant anti-communist and a friend of Joe McCarthy, and he had a reputation of being a staunch anti-communist, he's the one that opened the door to détente with the Soviet Union. Something the Democrats couldn't have gotten away with. Because they would have said, what do you have relations with the communists, with the commies? In those days, the Democrats could never get away with that in the 60s and 70s. Richard Nixon, it took Richard Nixon, a so-called conservative Republican, a so-called staunch anti-communist, he's the one that went to communist China. He's the one that gave trade and massive benefits to the Soviets and the Chinese that kept them in power, that kept the communists in power. The Iron Curtain would have fallen sooner if not for Nixon's policies. It took someone like Nixon to do that. And you have the same situation with Arik Sharon is the one that expelled the Jews from Gush Katif. Arik Sharon was supposed to be a right-winger. He expelled the Jews from Gush Katif. Menachem Begin was also supposed to be a big right-winger. He threw all the Jews out of Sinai and handed over the entire Sinai, which was three times the size of the rest of Israel. He handed over 75% of the land that Israel had. He handed over the entire Sinai to Muslim Nazi Egypt. If JTF succeeds in convincing people that there has to be massive physical resistance, if we succeed, if we're able to persuade people, we could literally save the state of Israel, the land of Israel, the Jewish people, from a horrific tragedy, from another Holocaust even. So we're doing everything we can, and we're not the only ones. We in JTF and in our Hebrew movement, Tenuat Koach Mesima Yehudi, Koach Mesima Yehudi is JTF in Hebrew, we're not the only ones who advocate massive physical resistance. There are some good Jews in Israel that are also advocating this, but we're part of the group that is pushing for this. Let's hope that we can convince people to do this. Because if we can't, it's going to be the first out of many tragic, tragic expulsions, and then we are in a lot of trouble. The Jewish people are in a lot of trouble, God forbid. Let's go on now to the next subject, which is the decision by Ted Cruz, who is the only national politician that we in JTF admire. We supported Ted Cruz for president enthusiastically. We admire Ted Cruz. We intend to support him if he runs again in 2020 or in 2024 or whenever he gets a chance to run again. If he does run again, our intention is to once again support him. He announced that he is endorsing Donald Trump, whom we will never support. Never support Donald Trump. Donald Trump is evil. Donald Trump is insane. Donald Trump is dangerous. He's a demagogue and a fraud, and we will never support Donald Trump. But Ted Cruz announced he's endorsing him. This was predictable. Cruz knows that he was paying a very, very heavy price for refusing to endorse Trump at the Republican convention. You remember he was booed by the majority of delegates at the convention. They booed him and shouted him down. And his popularity took a big hit in Texas. And it looked like he was going to be challenged in the Republican primary when he runs for re-election in Texas in 2018. So, you know, his chances of successfully running for president in the future, if he refuses to endorse the Republican presidential nominee, he felt he wouldn't have a chance. He felt that this would basically end his national career, and so he felt he had to do this. I don't have a problem with this, with him doing this. I don't care that he felt that he had to do this. I know that he's not going to vote for Donald Trump, and no one in his family is going to vote for Donald Trump. Ted Cruz hates Donald Trump. Everyone in Ted Cruz's family hate Donald Trump. They know that Donald Trump is evil. They know he's a slanderer, a liar, a fraud, a degenerate of the worst type. He is the lowest type of filth ever to enter American politics. The lowest type of corrupt filth that you could possibly have in politics. He was always filth when it came to his reality TV shows. He was filth in the business world. He was corrupt and dirty in the business world. And he's corrupt and dirty in the political world. And he would be a catastrophe, God forbid, as president. Ted Cruz knows that. His family knows that. When they get into the privacy of the voting booth, they're not going to vote for Trump. And they don't want Trump to win. I guarantee it. Cruz can't run for president in 2020, which he wants to do, if Trump is elected. If Trump's elected, he'd have to wait at least 8 years. And who knows what would happen in that 8-year period. Trump may so destroy the Republican Party and the Republican brand with his terrible policies that it may be impossible for a Republican to ever win again if Trump is elected. So Cruz doesn't want Trump to win. He's not going to vote for Trump. But he's endorsing him publicly because he feels that it's his only chance of ever running for president, of ever being a national figure, and of ever being able to win the Republican nomination, because, you know, he feels, how am I going to win the Republican nomination if I don't endorse the Republican nominee for president and I anger so many Republicans? He felt that he just wouldn't be able to succeed in the future. Okay. Doesn't affect us in the least. We will always be against Trump. We will always be never Trump. Always. We will never support, unlike you insane people out there who are willing to support him, we will never support someone who says that he's going to give nuclear bombs to Saudi Arabia and to South Korea and Japan and spread nuclear bombs all over the place. That alone should make him absolutely unacceptable, no matter what stand he takes on any other issue. The fact that Donald Trump would put the whole world in this type of danger, in this type of horrific predicament, where the chances of a nuclear holocaust would be enormous. Because if you spread nuclear weapons to all these countries, the chances that eventually the weapons are going to be used, the chances that terrorists are going to get their hands on the weapons, the chances that some rogue regime is going to use the weapons, the chances that that's going to happen are very, very great. And the fact that he said, oh, it's inevitable they're all going to get nuclear weapons, and that he's willing to put us all in this danger, should make him absolutely unacceptable under any circumstances. And you add to that the fact that his positions on all the other issues are terrible. I don't know how anybody could support him. He's a lunatic. He's very, very dangerous. The day after we're doing this program, 24 hours after we do this program, there is going to be the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, two evil, unacceptable candidates. The first debate. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how the first debate's going to turn out. Traditionally, debates do not change very much in terms of the dynamics of an election. And this election has become a very close election. You know, it's amazing. Hillary Clinton is fainting all over the place. She's coughing her head off. She can't even complete speeches. And Donald Trump is running even with her in the polls. If Ted Cruz had been the Republican nominee, he would be running way ahead of her by now. He would be beating her. But because Donald Trump is such a terrible candidate, he's the only Republican that even someone like Hillary Clinton could beat, with all of her flaws, with all of her scandals, with all of her health problems and health issues. She should be easily beaten. And let me tell you something. If Trump doesn't beat Clinton this November, if he doesn't beat her when she has so many problems and so many flaws, and can't, and she can't, she can't even function. She's coughing, like she's uncontrollably, she's fainting. They have to hold her up. They have to prop her up. If he can't beat her under those circumstances, then he is the worst Republican candidate probably in history. If he can't beat her when he has all of these advantages going for him. So we'll see what happens. We predicted that Trump would be defeated. Now, since then, we didn't expect that Hillary was going to be fainting and coughing her head off and all these other problems are going to come up in the middle of the campaign. We didn't anticipate that. We thought that they'd be able to prop her up at least until November. We didn't think her situation was that bad, but it is. So that's an unexpected turn of events. We'll see. We'll see what happens in November. Right now, the race is very close. We'll see what happens. There's no question Ted Cruz would have been a much better candidate. Anyway, but this is what we're faced with in this evil generation. This is what we're faced with. And, you know, the rabbis, Chazal, the rabbis in the Talmud told us this was going to be an evil generation. In the end of days, this was going to happen. And surely enough, we have exactly what the rabbis predicted would occur. It's just another sign that the end of days is here, and who knows how much longer it could be. I mean, before Mashiach, before the Messiah comes and the final redemption comes, may not happen in our lifetime. It could take another 100 years, another 200 years, but it won't take much longer than that. It won't take much longer than that. The resurrection of the state of Israel, the return of the Jews to the land of Israel in 1948, all these other things, the fact that the land of Israel once again has become a beautiful, magnificent, lush garden in the Middle East. I mean, the Israel, before the Jews came, was a place where it didn't rain, and it was like a desert. Inward, it was like a desert inland, and on the coast, it was a malaria-ridden swamp. It was a nightmare. Israel was a nightmare. And God did that. God promised he would do that. He promises that in the Parashiyot that we're reading now, in the Torah portions that we're reading now in the synagogue. He promised in the Bible, in the Torah, that he was going to make the land unlivable when the Jews are not there, in order to prevent the enemies of the Jews from being able to settle in the land and take over the land and create another nation over there. And he did that. The land was unlivable, was uninhabitable for 2,000 years. The moment the Jews started to come back, the land, the rain returned, and the land started to become livable again. And now, the best fruits, the best vegetables, the most beautiful things are grown in Israel. I mean, it has been turned from a desert into a garden. It has been turned from a nightmare into paradise. All of this was predicted and foreseen, and these are just some of the unbelievable, breathtaking biblical prophecies that are being fulfilled in our day in the land of Israel. But part of that process is also that it's going to be, in the end days, we have very evil generations and very evil people controlling things. And that's the downside of what happens before the final redemption. And we, who don't want to see evil in the world, we who want to see a moral world, have an obligation to speak up, have an obligation to stand up, because, of course, if we can somehow persuade through free will, if we can persuade people not to be evil, it's predicted they'll be evil, but it isn't guaranteed. People still have free will. They don't have to be evil. The prediction is that events will probably, knowing people and knowing human nature, that they probably will respond with tremendous wickedness in the end days to the events that will occur then. That's the prediction, but it isn't certain, because people still have free will. So we still have to try to persuade people. We still have to try to persuade people to change their ways and to become righteous and to follow the ways that God intended for both the Jew and for the Gentile. If you agree that our message is an important message, if you agree that Jews have to resist expulsions, that Jews have to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestine state and an Israeli surrender that will lead to an Israeli retreat to the pre-1967 borders, God forbid, that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. If you agree that we have to do everything we can to prevent Israeli national suicide, JTF is the one American Jewish organization. There are groups in Israel that are also fighting back. But we're the one American Jewish organization that uncompromisingly stands for these things and fights for these things. And that helps even those in Israel that are resisting and that are fighting back. I mean, we help financially and otherwise. We help people like Noam Federman and Meir Ettinger and the Hilltop Youth and the Jews in Judea and Samaria. We help them financially. We help them in every way that we can. We also help them in terms of our videos and our and in terms of public information and fighting for them and bringing their case to many thousands of Jews who otherwise would not see what they have to say, would not see their message. If you agree that that's important, then JTF is the group for you. And if you agree that it's important that we tell the truth in America as well, that we bring the truth to the people of the United States as well. In this election, we have a very tragic situation where we have two terrible candidates, both unacceptable, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But after the election, we're going to once again begin our campaign to try to wake people up. We are going to support Ted Cruz if he decides to run again. And we're going to begin a campaign to wake the American people up. We're going to be very involved in a campaign to wake the American people up. If you agree that's important, then JTF is the group for you. And we have to work together as a team. Help us. Together we can make a difference. Together we can. We need four things. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for the success of what we're doing. So much is at stake. Please pray for the success of our efforts. Prayer is very, very important. Prayer is critical because in the end, God does control everything. Please pray for us. Number two, when you see JTF videos in Hebrew or in English, please promote those videos on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. Please promote our videos. Number three, become active on our sites, on our main pages. JTF.org is the English main page. If you speak Hebrew, Hayamin.org is the Hebrew main page. Hayamin.org זה הדף שלנו, או האתר שלנו בעברית, בשפת העברית. I just explained to people in Hebrew that that is on that Hayamin.org is our page in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. And the fourth thing that we need is financial support. That is our downfall. If we only had a decent-sized budget, if we had a multi-million-dollar budget, I guarantee you we would make a big difference in situations like Amona. We already make a difference. We already have made somewhat of a difference in the things we've done over the years to help the Jews in Judea and Samaria with a very limited budget. Can you imagine if we had a decent multi-million-dollar budget, what we could do? We would make a big difference, God willing. We could change Jewish history. We would change Jewish history for the better. We could literally save Israel from creating a so-called Palestine state, because then we'd have the budget that would enable us to really convince people and push people and reach all the people so that there would be massive resistance to expulsions, so that the situation in Judea and Samaria would be completely different from what it is now. It'd be a whole different world. If we just had a few million dollars, it would be a whole different world. But in the meantime, with what we have to work with what we have, and every check, money order, cash donation sent to our post office box does make a difference. It really does make a difference. We need your help. God bless the JTFers who are sending on a regular basis checks, money orders, and cash donations to our post office box. And there's another option if you prefer to donate online for the sake of convenience. If you'd rather do it online, all you have to do is go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. And you see a donate button in English. In English, you'll see a donate button on top. You click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently donate to us online by going to our Hebrew main page again, hayamin.org. We need your help. We need to work together. This is a critical time for us. So much is at stake. Together, let's do what has to be done to make this a better world, and to save the world from terrible tragedies, God forbid. For JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Until next week, Shalom.